6 minutes past six and time to look at developments on the market. It's all green with the All Share Financials, Resources, Industrials, Gold and the Top 40 ending the day up. Just One Lab founder Simon Brown joins us in studio. Good evening, Simon.
Evening to me, son.
A good day. Talk us through the day's market developments.
It was a great day. I mean, green across the board. Another all-time closing high. We've had, six, eight, ten of them in the last sort of October.
Yeah.
Volumes also been picking up. I mean, a few months ago, we would have been talking 15 billion a day. We're now talking 20, 22, 24 billion. But nice. Frankly, it's going back to where we were a year ago. But nonetheless, it's moving in the right direction, which is positive as well. And there were different pockets. The market, very much driven by the resource stocks, gold up through $1,300 an ounce. That pushed the AngloGold Ashanti gold fields up 3-odd%. We saw Billiton responding well. And then there were some other sort of large caps, Mediclinic and Richemont and others, which did fall. But offset then by a big move by Naspers after a really good session in Hong Kong overnight, which saw Tencent do well.
Yeah.
So relatively broad-based, some highlights to it, but you know, pretty much buying across and another high.
Good news there. How did the Rand fare then?
The Rand was actually a little bit bouncy. It ended the day pretty much flat, but at one point it was out at 135, then down at 128, ultimately ending around the 130.5 level. And it was odd because when I first saw I saw gold had moved and I saw the gold stocks, but the gold had only moved $8. I thought maybe our Rand had weakened out to 13, 40 odd, perhaps even worse. And it hadn't. The Rand was, a little bit wobbly, but pretty much stable for the day. I think the driver was, 1300 is a psychological level in gold. It got above it last month, gone back below, and I think people are sort of looking forward more than anything else to what the current price is as to where they're anticipating it going.
Let's talk company news now, starting with Discovery's banking license.
Yeah, so it's not new news. They've been telling us that they're in the process. The news part is they've been granted the license. And that's quite a big deal. Time got one last month, and before that was 1999 since a license was being granted, a new banking license in South Africa. They've still got some more hurdles to get through. They've got competition approval and the like. But they're slowly working towards that banking, which will probably come on middle to second half of next year. And a lot of folks were saying to me, how come the Discovery price didn't do much? It was up about 0.5%, which is pretty much in line with the rest of the market. And I think it's because we know the story, and it's going to be a while before they launch it. And then in truth, it's going to be, as often is with Discovery's new products, they're not making profit in the first 2, 3, maybe even 4 years or so. They've got to grow into that profit space. So long term, it's a good story for Discovery. In the immediate, it's definitely a momentous occasion for them, but a long way still to go.
A long way still to go. We understand that the Competition Commission is yet to give its thumbs up. What is that process likely to be?
So that process is almost certainly just to be more than anything a formality and the like. And
particularly
in the banking space, you want competition, and they're being sort of proactive in that sense. So my senses and my understanding, and from what Discovery has said at their last results presentation, is really saying, this is just a formality we need to go through. There obviously is a lot of work in the process, but it's not, I suppose the same with the banking license, which comes from the register of the banks. At the Reserve Bank, it's going to happen. It just needs to happen. You need to fulfill those requirements and make sure that you've done everything that needs to be done legally in that process.
Calgro M3 released results. So what's going on there?
It depends how we read the results. So they're a small little business, a relatively small market cap of a couple of billion rand. They build housing currently predominantly in the sort of middle and slightly low LSM groups. They can change the target markets as demand comes. At the top level, numbers were down, but there was some accounting because of a joint venture they've done, and they had to unrealize a profit. And if we strip that out, they did all right. It's a tough space to be in.
It is.
They've got some interesting businesses in terms of a joint venture, which they will be providing rental stock into.
Okay.
That'll do really well for them. They're into memorial parks. They got one down in Nasrec.
Lovely looking, I must say.
I haven't been past. I'll take your word. And I must say, at the time when they went into this, I didn't think much of it. It's currently around 3% of profit. Not massive, but it's growing at 40%. Now, that obviously will taper off in time, but then they're going to open one in the Western Cape, another down in KwaZulu-Natal.
Right.
And, you know, you can almost see a situation in maybe 3-5 years where memorial parks are actually a decent part of their revenue.
Mm-hmm.
Not a majority, maybe 20-25%.
Yeah.
But it's a nice steady income that they will be earning on that. So something, you know, and I suppose, much like discovering their banking license. Start small, seems not to be very much, you know, then starts to get some traction, make some profit, and eventually becomes, you know, a meaningful part of the business. So all in all, a decent set of results from Calgo. At the current share price, it's probably slightly cheap to valuations. Problem is that it's a small cap and no one likes small caps right now.
Yeah. Now let's discuss PIC upping its stake in PPC. The story is every day there's something going on there.
And we need to remember who is buying and who isn't buying. Uh-huh. So Dangote, richest man in Africa, and obviously Sopaku, they own Sopaku Cement and the locally, withdrew from it. But certainly there is potential corporate action happening around there.
Mm-hmm.
AfriSam, which interestingly, of course, PIC, getting my P's and my PIC, being the government pension scheme, of course, mm-hmm. has a very large stake in AfriSam. It was taken private maybe 10 years ago,
right.
And then had to get refunded. They've got a significant stake there. So perhaps they kind of positioning themselves to try and make this merger happen. They've got to be careful because they've also got to be, you know, there's a point where they become an interested party in which they can't vote their shares because they're on both sides of the table. But certainly they're now up over 21%, up from 15%, so they've been buying fairly aggressively. And we can't just say it's on the valuation. We have to assume that it's something to do with this corporate activity as well. What's going to happen? Is it going to be the Fairfax deal out of Canada? Is it going to be AfriSam? Is it going to be no one? Maybe Dangote comes back with Dangote Cement. But from an outsider, a fun story to watch. Maybe not so much if you're an insider.
Exciting. So exciting.
For us money nerds, it's exciting.
Lastly, Rolf's CEO quits amid an accounting disaster. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so their CFO quit back in, was it May, the latest results about 2 weeks ago, and they'd warned the market of it. Was it out and out fraud? It may well have been. It certainly was. There was some cooking of books happening. The results actually weren't bad considering the cooking of books. The cash flow remained strong. Unfortunately, as CEO, the buck needs to stop somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
And it stops with her. And she had been the CFO. It really is someone should have been monitoring. Now there's an audit committee as well, and there's others, but it stops at the CSO. The previous CEO of Metrofile, who was acting FD, he stepped into the position, which is quite interesting because he took over at Metrofile when they were on the verge of bankruptcy. Rolf's is not on the verge of bankruptcy, but they certainly need some cleaning and fixing, and he's probably the right person for it. And astonishingly, I discovered he's only 45, and he's onto his second listed CEO, which
That's
makes
a good
me
news
feel
story.
Quite very old.
Thank you so much for your time. Always a pleasure. We'll have to leave it there for this evening. Just One Lab founder Simon Brown with the day's market wrap.